I want to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8. And as you do so, let me proudly proclaim to you that there is hope for you. That Jesus Christ is our living hope. In Him we have hope, both in life and in death. And that whatever your present holds or your future may bring, you can put your hope in Christ. We know that for the believer, the best is yet to come. And your hope and your joy needs to be grounded in your hope of heaven. And we have to realize that, well, we're not there yet. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, that we groan inwardly as we eagerly await the redemption of our bodies. The truth is, as we all know, there is pain in the present. Perfection is reserved for the future. To expect pain-free living and perfection in the present is to be disappointed. So we look forward to our ultimate healing in heaven. But we also have the promise of hope and healing for us in the present. That living for Jesus now gives us hope and strength for today. And the power of the Holy Spirit within us allows us to face and to overcome whatever life may bring. So I say it again, that we have so much to look forward to. We're not there yet. We certainly do our share of groaning as we wait for our complete redemption and our perfection in heaven. But Christ gives us real hope for today. He gives us real hope for today and the strength to keep going until we reach the other side. Now, last Sunday morning, we looked here at this story of the leper in Matthew chapter 8, who was healed by Jesus. So why don't we quickly summarize today what we looked at last Sunday morning and then move on into some other exciting things that the Bible tells us about our hope in Christ. It says, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed Him. A man with leprosy came before Him and said, Lord, if You're willing, You can make me clean. And Jesus reached out His hand and He touched the man. I am willing, He said, be clean. And immediately He was cured of His leprosy. Now this story tells us about a man who was in pain and horrible suffering. He was in a terrible place and position in life, but he had something very special. He had faith in Jesus. He had hope in Christ that led to his healing that day and changed his life. My friend, do you have hope that can lead to your healing and change your life? So the title of this message, again, is Hope That Heals. Hope That Heals. And this is part two. Lord, thank You for a great service. Now we come to the time of looking into Your Word. Your Word that is powerful and challenges us and changes us and sets us free. Lord, Your Word is our strength and our foundation. I pray that the Holy Spirit, that You would open our ears, that we would receive all that You have for each and every one of us. And Lord, also by Your Holy Spirit, that You would one more time anoint your servant and empower me to preach your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, a quick summary of what we talked about last Sunday morning about this story and this man was, first of all, this man had no hope until he met Jesus. He had no hope until he met Jesus. The man was a leper. And during Bible times, it was a dreaded and horrible affliction. Having leprosy was about as bad as it could possibly get. He was unclean. He was an outcast. And for the leper, the only hope, the only rest that they could look forward to was death. His was a helpless and a hopeless situation, with absolutely nothing that he could do about his own health or his condition. But this leper himself was pretty incredible. He didn't let all that was against him stop him. He came to Jesus, the Bible says, and he knelt before him. That was a very hard, difficult thing for him to do. He simply didn't belong there. He didn't belong anywhere near Jesus or anybody else. He was unclean. And I wonder, as I mentioned last Sunday, what would have happened to the guy? What would have happened if he had stayed home, if he had stayed away that day? So many people miss so much blessing and so much of what God has for them because they stay home, because they stay away. And he said to Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. What I see happening is I see that hope was welling up in his soul. His only question was Jesus willing? Does he really care about me? Will he really help me? Will he really heal me? Well, Jesus was indeed willing. In fact, Jesus did the unthinkable. He stopped. He spoke to him. And then he reached out his hand. And he touched him. A leper. Oh, that encourages me. To know that no matter who I am or where I've been or what I've done or how much I'm messed up, Jesus is always willing to reach out His hand and touch me and touch you. I'm here to tell you, my friend, that Jesus is willing for you to stop, to listen, to reach out, and to touch you. He's willing to do for you what no one else could ever do. There is hope. There's hope for you today. Whatever is going on in your life, in your situation, whatever your need is, what I know is that you can have hope because Jesus is here for you. So, why don't we go the next step? Everybody ready to go the next step? I am. I hope you come with me. First, we said that the man had no hope until he met Jesus. But now let's turn the corner a little bit and look further at hope in Christ, which encourages us to do four things. Hope in Christ encourages us to do four things. Number one, hope encourages us to hold on. To hold on. What we do know for sure is that life is not always easy. How many know that? Bad things happen. Boy, I see some of you really putting your hand up. Boy, I know it, Pastor. Pain and problems do come. But what gets us through these things? What gets us through the realities of life? Faith in God, hope in Jesus Christ. Paul understood this, and he knew how important it is to hold on. That better days are coming and God will see you through. Turn to the person next to you and say, God will see you through. Do you need to tell them again? Do you think they got it? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, Paul says, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. Verse 7. And our hope for you is firm. Because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we received in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened so that, now watch it, this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. So that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us. Wow. See, Paul knew what it was to face the realities and the difficulties of life. But he didn't despair because he had set his hope in God who is able. He set his hope in God who is able. Able to comfort. Able to give strength. Able to deliver. Able to help us to overcome. His hope was firm. He knew what God did in the past. He said He has delivered us. But that just gave him more hope for the future. As well as for the present, He will deliver us and He will continue to deliver us. And He said in that 10th verse that He has, on Him, He says, we have set our hope. On Him, we have set our hope. Paul's hope was totally and only and completely in God. Where is your hope today? What is your hope in? Who have you put your hope in? If you look to anyone or anything else other than God for your help or your hope or your deliverance, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be let down. If you put your hope in your friend or your family member or even in your pastor, you're going to be let down sooner or later. Your hope must be in God alone. That He will deliver you. You know, Christians, we don't have to deny the realities of life. Some modern theologies try to tell us that we should just deny the realities of life. There is no pain. There is no suffering. There is no trouble. There is no hardship. You don't have to go through that. You can just claim your way out. That isn't the Bible that I have. We don't have to deny the realities of life. We just need to have hope and trust in God and hold on. We can go a little bit further in this book of 2 Corinthians, as Paul writes in chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. He says, but we have this treasure. Somebody's getting excited along with me right now. We have this treasure. I like treasure. We have this treasure in jars of clay. To show that this all-surpassing power, somebody say power. This all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. He says we're hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Again, he acknowledges the fact and the reality of our troubles and our weaknesses. He acknowledges that life can be hard. But we're like jars of clay. I know I am. We're like jars of clay. Clay is weak. He doesn't say we're jars of iron or steel. We're jars of clay. Because we're weak. Clay is easily damaged. It's easily broken. If you drop it, it cracks. How many have ever felt like they've been dropped and they've cracked? But he says there's treasure in those jars of clay. Woo! There is a treasure in these jars of clay, and it is the all-surpassing power of God that resides by the Holy Spirit within us. We may be jars of clay. We may be weak. We may be easily damaged or broken, but within us is the power of the Holy Spirit of the Almighty and Living God, the all-surpassing power from God that is from Him and not from us, and that gives us hope in a loving, caring, and all-powerful God. How do you hurt today? But will you hold on to the hope that you have in Christ when difficulties and problems and troubles arise? Hold on! Help is on the way. Don't run. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stay home. Don't stay away. Don't shut yourself in. Don't get away from God. Don't get away from the church. Don't get away from God's people. Don't stay away from the Word and from prayer. Get to God. Get to God. Get back into the Word. Back into prayer. Back into worship. Back to church. Get around God's people. Seek God and let faith and hope well up in your heart and see what God will do for you. My friend, hold on. Number two, hope encourages us to open up. To open up. On July 4th, 1952, Florence Chadwick attempted to swim the 26 miles from Catalina Island to Long Beach. The waters of the Pacific, as we know, were cold. There were sharks swimming nearby, and a dense fog made it impossible for her to see dry land. She swam on for 15 hours, but then she gave up her attempt. Despite repeated encouragements from her coach that was on a boat next to her to continue to swim, when Florence gave up the swim, she was only a half mile from shore. She had swum 25 and a half miles. And she gave up a half mile from shore. Later on, Chadwick explained her failure this way. She said, "If I could have seen the land, if I could have seen the land, I would have made it." My friends, how important it is for us to open up. To open up our eyes to hope. That in each and every situation, no matter how difficult, we need to open up our eyes and we need to see Jesus in every situation. Chadwick said, "If I just could have seen the land, I would have made it." How often we might say, "If I could have just seen Jesus in my situation, I would have made it." What a difference it makes to see Jesus. Why do we sometimes lose hope? Sometimes we might go 25 and a half miles and give up a half mile from shore. But in the fog of our circumstances, in the fog of our pain, we don't see Jesus. Sometimes we choose to focus on the people and the things that are causing the problems rather than choosing to see Jesus and choosing to see His plan and His purpose for what we're going through. We don't see land. We don't see what God is doing, how He's working, and what He is accomplishing in us. We don't see the shore. We don't see where He's taking us, including all the way to the shores of glory. If we could just see, if we could just see that everything that God does is for a purpose, for a greater good, to make us better, to get us ready for heaven, so that we will reach the other shore. I continue in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 16. "Therefore," oh, this is good. "Therefore, we do not lose heart." We do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Though outwardly we're wasting away, but inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us. It's worth it, my friend. Are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So what do? We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is just temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. See, Paul is encouraging us that we need to look not only at the present situation, but we need to see Jesus because God is always looking to our future. We often only look at the pain, but God looks at the process. What He is doing in you to make you better. We look at only how hard the swim is, but God looks toward taking us to the other side. Paul saw it so clearly. He continues in chapter 5. "Now we know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God." I'm getting excited. "We have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven. It's not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we're clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we're in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we're always confident. And we know that as long as we're home in the body, we're away from the Lord. We live by faith and not by sight. We're confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. You see, Paul looked past. He looked beyond the frailties of his earth suit. And he looked toward the fulfillment of God's good promises. Guaranteed. Aren't you glad God doesn't just make the promise, He gives us a guarantee. Guaranteed by the Holy Spirit and His power in us. He lived in hope and He looked forward in hope. We live by faith and not by sight. Friend, don't let the fog of life and of your circumstances keep you from seeing Jesus. Should I continue on? Number three. Give me a few extra minutes and we'll get number three and number four in. Because we're on a roll and I don't want to quit now. Thirdly, hope encourages us to press through. To press through. You know, sometimes God does not deliver us from difficult circumstances, but He delivers us through them. Paul explains in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 begins like this. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. I'm glad somebody's reading along with me. We rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Because God has poured out His love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Here's the key. Here's the key. We must understand the relationship between suffering and hope. The relationship between suffering and hope. In these verses, Paul lays out a four-step process. Number one, suffering. Number two, perseverance. Number three, character. And number four, hope. Evidently, Paul is telling us that there can be no real hope without suffering. Maybe, just maybe, God is working, God is doing more in you than you realize. Just maybe, God is doing more in you, in your life, than you realize. God is more interested in what's happening in us than in what's going on around us. God is more interested in our character than in our comfort. Holding on to God, pressing through, develops hope within us. Hope that will heal and hope that will take us all the way home. When you go through hard times, and I know that you do, do you ever say, "Why is this happening to me?" Maybe we should ask this question: God, what are you doing in me and through me? God, what will you accomplish in me if I trust you in this and I press on through? Number four. Hope encourages us to do this. Expect more. Expect more. Here's what I think. Do any of you care what I think? Should I bother telling you what I think? Is that all right? It's okay? Care what I think? Maybe you don't, but I'll tell you anyway. Here's what I think. I think we expect far too little from God. I think we expect far too little from God, and we expect too little of what He has in store for us. We need to expect more, because God is a big God. I think sometimes we get too mired, we get too bogged down in the mud of this world, and we consider too little the purposes of God, what He's doing in us, and where He's taking us. We allow the pain and the problems of this life to distract us from the plans that God has for us. We let the circumstances of our lives discourage us from our eager expectation of what lies ahead. We think way too much about this world and not nearly enough about heaven. This Friday, we're showing the movie about this behind the song, "I Can Only Imagine." I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me, surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance? Some of you folks that don't like to dance, I got news for you. You're going to do some dancing, some serious dancing. Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you, will I be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees, will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. My friends, this world is not our home. Paul said our citizenship is in heaven. and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. The truth is that when Christ is your living hope, and you know where you're going, when Christ is your hope, and you know where you're going, it gives you strength and stability in this life, no matter what it brings. And it serves as a firm foundation and an anchor for the soul. I conclude by taking you to one more scripture, the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with verse 13. Hebrews 6, beginning with 13. When God made His promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, He swore by Himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of His purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. Now watch it, verse 19. We have this hope. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. A ship has an anchor. The anchor goes down into the water to hold the boat in place so that it won't drift away with the current. This anchor that we have goes up. This anchor goes up into heaven, where Christ has gone before us. It gives us hope. It keeps us in place so that we do not move with the currents of life and hardship. And it keeps us steady in an unsteady world. We need to expect more. And expecting more from God will give you hope. Expecting what God has in store for us in heaven will give you hope here in this life. Whatever your circumstances are today, I'm here to tell you it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Here and there. Expect more. Hope more. Because God has more for you. Jesus is our living hope. And our hope in Him is an anchor for the soul. Will you take hold of the hope that God offers you, that you may be greatly encouraged, that you may be healed? Can I challenge you to do these four things? Hold on. Hold on. Open up. open up your eyes and see Jesus. Press through. Press through. Because God will deliver you. And expect more. Is there anything? Is there any area in your life that needs to be healed? Is there any situation that you are going through, that you're dealing with, that you need hope? His deliverance, His help, His healing is available for you. I know this. God has more for you. God has more for you. Let faith arise in your soul. Let hope well up in your heart. Hope for here, for now, for today. Hope for the healing that God has for you. And hope that will lead to your ultimate healing that God has awaiting you in heaven. Could everybody bow their heads just for a second? I know we've gone a little over. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm just wondering, as we've heard God's Word, we've been in His presence today, is there somebody here that you'd slip up your hand and you'd say, Pastor, I'd like you to pray because I've not put my faith, my hope in Jesus Christ. I'm not sure what's going on in my life. It's not making any sense. Doesn't seem to be any reason, any purpose for it. But I hear what you're saying. And I want to take a step of faith. I want to put my faith, my hope in Jesus Christ. I want to receive Jesus today as my Savior and my Lord. I want to know that there's a reason and a purpose for my life. I want to know where I'm going to go when I die. I want to know that I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, I'd love to pray with you. Would you slip up your hand? Nobody's looking around. I just want to pray with you. Is there one? Just slip up your hand. While our heads are bowed, is there somebody else who might slip up your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm going through something really hard right now, and I need hope. I need God's help. Will you pray for me? I'm going through something. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Is there anybody else? Yes, God bless you. Stu's going to put up a song. Yes, God bless you. Jesus is here for you. Just like He was here for that leper, He's here for you. Stu's going to, Gus, God bless you. See that hand? Stu put on that song. If you raise your hand, I'd like you to come out. I'd like the opportunity to pray with you. If you raise your hand, or even if you didn't, just come on up. I'd like the chance to pray with you. Would you do that? Would you come forward? Stu put on that song.
His mercy is unfailing. His arms a fortress for the weak. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge. You are my strength. Be still, there is a river that flows from Calvary's tree, a fountain for the thirsty, your grace that washes over me. Let faith arise. Let faith arise.